Hey y'all, welcome to Gather Together, and I'm your host, Katie King. Today, me and my husband are going to finish up our story with part 4. So let's listen in on episode number 28. Alright, so me and Colby are back for part 4 of our story. We promise this will be the last one.
We're gonna try.
I think.
We hope.
So, where we left off was basically, us, you know, once again deciding we're going to work things out after Colby's gambling addiction. And then Colby really started to grow his relationship with the Lord. And that kind of threw me for a loop because I was not used to that. And so...
Yeah, you were kind of used to leading. I think in the last episode you were... That's kind of where we left off. You said you were used to leading and it was hard for you to really... kind of release that, you know,
right.
you were used to giving everything else to God, but not necessarily giving me.
Yeah, and so it's, like I said last episode, you know, I was like, all right, God, I trust you with everything else, but not with Colby, because I felt like if I could control the situation, I could do it better or quicker, that I just needed my hand in some part of your life, your journey, whatever you want to call it, you know?
Right.
So, I guess we can just kind of start from there and follow up with where we are now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, to what you just said, because I'm scatterbrained, I'll forget. So, you made a point just a second ago and said that if that you just felt like you needed your hand in it in some way. And I think... I don't want to speak for you, but I think the cool part looking back on all this now is, like, at the time you felt like that meant you had to be, like, really hands-on, but you were actually such a big part of it by just kind of eventually stepping back. So I don't want you to feel like, we've never really talked about that, but I don't want you to feel like you weren't a part of it, because you were, and it was really important for you to be there. And so, anyway.
Yeah, and I noticed, it's like, that's when I noticed the change happening is... I let go that control and I stepped back and I was like, you know what, God, you got this. There's nothing I can do. This was later on
right. When
I realized this, but that's when I started seeing change in you, because I wasn't saying, well, you better get up and go to church. You better do this. You better read that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Even after I'd started changing, you know, and kind of making, you know, making some moves, you would still, you know, there was still that time frame there where you, just like you said, you weren't wanting to let go. So there were like the days where you would just guilt me into going to church. And a lot of times, now it's a terrible excuse and I realize it now, but a lot of times I legitimately woke up on a Sunday and was like, yeah, I just, like, I'm on fire for God, but I'm tired. I've worked all week and I really just don't want to get up. I want to rest. And I know that's, like I said, a pitiful excuse, but when you forced me to go, you know, that was kind of one of those things that was just eating away at me. I'm like, man, if there wasn't pressure, I think it's human nature, isn't it?
Right,
when
yeah.
People,
yeah.
Like, when you feel like this is what you're supposed to, you just kind of, this is the rebellious side of us. Like, we're just like, you know, I don't want to do it because it's expected of me, you
right.
know, or whatever. But when that pressure was gone, it did make it a lot easier for me to kind of just dive in and be a true follower, a true disciple. And I think that that was huge in our marriage. That was a big moment when you were able to kind of let that go.
Yeah, and I'm going to be honest. The thing that I was pushing you to, the things I was pushing you towards was community, being at church, joining a serve team, all those things. I wasn't necessarily so concerned about your personal relationship with Christ because I wanted you to be seen in all these areas as the leader of the house.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It was more about the look of it from the outside looking in.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, hey, my family's not damaged anymore. Look at us. Like,
yeah.
My husband's leading. He's doing all these great things.
Right.
And I didn't care about your personal relationship.
Right. And full transparency, I mentioned it in one of the episodes. It might have been episode 2, but like, I'm still not there completely with, like, the serving and all that stuff. Like, I'm very, I don't really have a good excuse as to why I haven't joined a serve team, but, you know, it is what it is. I'll get there and everything, but I think it's cool, and it says a lot that some of the things, like you just said, that you were kind of trying to push me towards, you know, I may still not even be there, but we see the growth and we see where we're at, and you know what, you know, we see now that all of that stuff, while it is super important and it is a huge part, and community, for the record, is something that I am fully, you know, kind of, I'm trying to really engage in the community side of things now. But as far as, like, you know, like I said, serving and stuff like that, I'm not there yet, and I know that I'll get there, but...
But I'm going to be... I mean, another thing, like, I don't... Now, the place I'm in now, I wouldn't trade any of that for the world. Like, seeing you day to day, like, with your relationship with Christ, I don't care if you're on a serve team. I don't care if you're out doing these things. Like, I know that you're seeking Him, and that's all that matters right now.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I mean... Like I said, I'm going to get there. I want to get there. And it's just something that I think, you know, I struggle with, because I'm the type of person that, like, I like to take my free time and do things that I want to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to give that free time away. So, although I know I need to, you know, I had a conversation with somebody one day that put it into perspective. It's like, you know, about, they kind of, they referenced it to tithing, you know, your with finances. They're like, you know, we're expected to give 10% of our, you know, of our earnings, right? And they referenced it to that and said, well, the least we can do is give 10% of our time too.
Yeah.
And that was like, wow, yeah. I mean, we're not great at tithing either, but, you know, it seems sometimes I would rather give the 10% of the finances than the 10% of the time. But in reality, we need to be given more than 10% of our time, probably.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
At least that much. And, you know, so...
I think kind of where we can head this is... So, that was 6 years into our marriage. This September will be 8 years.
Yeah.
So, for the next year and a half, to kind of sum it up, and we'll talk about this, how we deal with it now. To sum it up, the past year and a half has been growing as one.
Mm-hmm.
Growing as individuals with our relationship with Christ.
Yep.
So therefore we can grow together as one.
Yeah.
And then just learning how to love each other.
Right.
Learning how to, for me, respect you.
Yeah.
Learning who we are as a person, because, I mean, the past 6 years we really didn't care to learn that.
Right.
And so this past year and a half has really been just learning each other, learning how to love each other well, how to serve each other well.
Right.
So I guess we can kind of dive into that. Like, how has that looked for us?
Right. Yeah, no, it's been incredible, just the idea that, to think of where we came from and all of this growth. And, you know, truthfully, the crazy thing for the first time in our marriage this last year and a half has been just full of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been, there really haven't been many down moments, and I don't mean to brag or I don't want you guys to think I'm trying to, you know, pump you full of crap here, but...
I mean,
like,
it was a rough 6 years. I think we deserve it.
We do. No, absolutely. But, you know, like, I even want to bounce into really quick. I know we wanted to tell this. Like, we had, because we've told about having our other two kids, our first two, but, like, you know, through all this, we, for the first time, when we found out that you were pregnant again, like...
Yeah.
I genuinely knew, like, I just knew, like, this is it. Like, this is awesome. Like,
mm-hmm.
It just was so perfect.
It was a year ago, actually. Found out we were pregnant with Owen.
Right.
The first time, like you said, we truly were happy and excited, and we...
Well, we were where we needed to be, finally.
Yeah.
I mean, and then we're, you know, we have... You know, we're finally settled into what we hope to be our forever home, or at least for the next 30 to 40 years.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, we finally feel like we're home. We finally feel like, you know, this isn't even a feeling. We know what our relationship is with God, and we know what our relationship is with each other and our oneness with God. And like, there was just so much certainty, and I'll never forget you walking into our den and just with a tear rolling down your face to tell me you were pregnant. And I again, genuinely have never been that happy and excited and thrilled. And there was just there's no words to explain, really, how awesome it was. So, Those are just that's definitely one of the things that we've gone through in the past year and a half. And I think that outside of that, it's just been, like you said, learning to respect each other. There's definitely been hard conversations, but they're not low points. I think that's been the coolest part about what we're going through, is that, you know, we can have conversations now and they don't have to be the end of the world.
No.
Our conversations are usually filled with, you know, good, calm, you know, dialogue.
And they're hard conversations.
Yeah.
But we have never been able to sit and have a conversation that was hard without screaming and yelling and I'm done, I'm sick of this, I'm over it, you know?
Right.
And now we can.
Right.
Like, not to say that we don't still scream and yell at each other, because that happens, but, it's very rare.
It is, and, you know, so...
I guess we can kind of... That kind of goes into learning each other. So, for me, I don't like to talk about my feelings. I don't like to talk about what's going on. I'm just like, leave me alone, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you are the complete opposite. You're like, let's talk about it right now. I want to figure it out.
Yeah, when something happens, when there is conflict, you're the type of person that just has the mentality that time is going to heal it. And, you know, and when I say time, I don't mean like weeks or anything. Like, it's just like, okay, just literally let me get through today in a bad mood. Tomorrow I'll wake up and everything's going to be
right.
Fine. That's usually the way you handle it. And then for me, it's just the opposite. I'm like, you're in a bad mood. Tell me what it is now. Let's fix it right now. And it's like, I'm not going to let, there's no time in between. It's like, I'm going to piss you off and I'm going to fix it within
right.
5 minutes or I'm in a bad mood.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, that's just.
And having those conversations of, Colby, we've even had to have this conversation of, hey, like, when we're mad at each other and we're trying to talk, don't look at me like I'm an idiot. Like, Colby had to ask me not to do that, because if you know me, like, I have RBF, like, so bad. But he had to be like, I don't like that, and it makes me feel stupid, so don't look at me like that.
Yeah.
And then for me, I had to be like, okay, you can do all the talking, but let me just sit.
Yeah.
Like, if I don't talk right now, it's okay.
Yeah. And so we've learned to respect those things about each other, and which makes our arguments a lot more pleasant. So,
yeah.
You know, it would be absurd to think that we wouldn't argue or disagree on anything.
Yeah.
We're always going to argue and disagree. I mean, it's just part of it.
Right.
You know, I'm not just saying part of marriage, it's part of life.
We're not perfect.
I mean, every relationship you have, whether it be a marriage or a friendship or whatever, you're going to argue and you're going to disagree. And so it's part of that. And I think it's finding, loving someone enough to find the patience to learn them,
yeah.
to learn their ways and learn their triggers and stuff. I think you and I have definitely talked a lot about triggers,
yeah.
and what really sets us off, what we just... And another thing is expectations,
mm-hmm.
Which I guess kind of could go hand in hand. Like, one of our big issues was setting expectations and not letting the other know about it.
Right, yeah, just so, assuming that the other person knew.
Oh, yeah. And, like, and not to throw you under the bus, you really did it. Like,
yeah.
you had these like, I would do it on the little things. Like,
because for me, I said, oh, it's common sense. But that doesn't matter.
Right. Well, and to, this is for, you know, the men and the women, whatever, whoever needs to hear this, it's, if you're not voicing your expectations to your spouse, you can't hold it against them.
Right.
That's not fair.
Yeah.
You can't. It's not, you just can't, I can't expect Katie to do the dishes. I mean, we'll go something so simple.
Right.
I can't expect Katie to do the dishes while I'm going to work, you know, and not, if I don't tell her that and I get home and those dishes are still there, I can't be mad.
Right.
I can't be mad.
And while most people are thinking, okay, that's common sense, she's a stay-at-home wife, but I wouldn't know it would put him in a bad mood or upset
right.
him.
Right. It's all about what is... You know, sometimes, too, we've had this conversation with the expectation side of things of unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
Like, if I say something, if I tell you that I expect something of you, and you feel it's just totally unrealistic, and, you know, just to be upfront and honest and say, look, that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, we've had those conversations, and those are great conversations to have because, you know, look, it's all about not being let down at the end of the day for me. Like, my expectations, I do set expectations pretty high. I set the bar pretty high. I want things to be right, especially when I get home. I've got an old school mentality for some reason. Y'all don't think that I'm just some jerk here. Katie does a really good job of keeping our house clean and doing mom things, and she's a fantastic housewife. I set these expectations high, and until I voiced them, I was let down almost daily. And it's not because the house wasn't clean, it's because one thing wasn't done.
Right, right.
You may have done the 49 other things I asked you to do, or not even asked you, that I expected you to do, mm-hmm. but that one thing. So, you know, it is so important.
And this all goes back to, if you truly love your spouse, you're going to want to honor them and respect them in any way.
Yeah.
And that was hard for me because I took it as, you're not going to tell me what to do.
Right.
I do my own thing. I'll clean what I want to clean. I'll do what I want to do. Like,
right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
As long as I'm not out there cheating on you or spending our money or mistreating our kids, I'm good. Like, let me do my own thing. And that is so wrong. Like, I want to honor you in the things I do and the things I say and how I act. And so, like, that means, well, throw it out there, the whole laundry thing. Like, I absolutely hate the thought of that.
Right.
But it's taken a while. Slowly, like, okay, if this is the only thing he asks me to do, why am I fighting it so hard? And it's because I don't want you to, I feel like it's controlling me. And it's not.
Right.
It's just how I think.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes we got to put our kind of our, pride's not the word. Sometimes we just got to kind of put our, maybe it is, I don't know. We just got to set things aside sometimes and just swallow a pill.
Right.
You know what I mean? There is a lot to be said about somebody that will go the extra mile to please their spouse. And
yeah.
I think that is a very, that's, for me, there is so much joy in that now. There didn't used to be.
Yeah.
It used to, pleasing you really didn't bother me. Like, I didn't really care. I mean, it was just like, if she's happy, great. If she's not, I'll just deal with it. Or
yeah.
I'll just get away from it. I'll just go somewhere and do something. Make something up. Fabricate something to get out of the house, you know. And I'll come back and everything will be fine. Well, now it's like, I do find joy in pleasing you. Like, last night, for example, we caught up all of the clean laundry. It is all folded and put up, people. It is all folded and put up. Now, there are still 4 baskets of dirty clothes. That's something else we'll talk about. But no, all jokes aside, I knew, and again, just like Katie said, she's been kind of like just not doing it. I've been the same way. I've been not doing it because, just out of spite, really.
Right. We just wanted to prove a point to each other.
Yeah.
Who's going to get in first?
And so, finally, last night, we both, like, I started, and I'm like, you know what? I don't care if she helps. I'm just going to do it, and I know it'll make her happy, so I'm just going to get it through. I'm just going to get it over with. Well, lo and behold, she walks in there, she starts helping, and the whole day changes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was not a good Sunday for us. It was like, you know, we were stressed. We were arguing because we had, like, I needed to get the grass cut. You really didn't want me to or whatever. You were just like, no, we got stuff to do in here, blah, blah, blah. And
yeah.
It wasn't a good day. And then it was like, it all came together when we just simply put our differences aside and tried to please each other and just tried to, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was cool to see how just easy it was to turn that day around. And that laundry took us all of 45 minutes.
Right, yeah.
So that wasn't hard.
Yeah. And another thing I wanted to kind of mention was, I think in the first episode I talked about this a little, about how I kept praying for God to change your heart and just work in you and you this, you that, you know, all of these things. Well, finally I had to come to a point of, like, I'm over here asking God to change Colby when I need it myself. Like, still, even after all this stuff happened between us, I worked on myself a little. I'm like, you know, God's giving me more patience and all this stuff. Like, there was still so much in my heart that I needed. Just, like, doing things, like, on purpose that I knew would upset you or hurt you. Or stuff, like, small stuff like that. Saying things. Like, my biggest thing is I know how to, like, cut deep when I use my words. And that's even something, like, I've had to pray about and let God really work on me. Like, I always thought, well, I do not want to be some crazy submissive wife who does whatever her husband says, and I'm just going to look like a pushover and all these things. Like, I did not want to look like that, and I did not want to look like a fool. But when it all comes down to it, like, if I truly want to be a godly woman and a godly wife, I'm going to submit to you, because for one, I love you, and two, I want to honor you.
Right.
And it kind of, like, I don't know what word I want to use. Maybe you'll know what I'm saying. Like, when I do that, it's when you kind of start, I don't know, do you get what I'm saying? Like, when I started doing those things, it's like you saw it and it made you be a better husband.
Well, yeah, it gave me some more drive. I mean, it showed, so one of my love languages was
words of affirmation.
Words of affirmation. And that's huge for me. All I need you to do is tell me just reassure me that you appreciate me and you see me and you know that what I'm doing is helping our family and helping you, and don't push anything under the rug. Like, I'm talking little things. I'm petty. I get petty with this stuff. Like, if I do the dishes, if I rinse my bowl out, I need somebody to tell me thank you. Like,
and, like, y'all, this is something we just talked about last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I struggle on this hard because I hate words of affirmation. Like, I don't need you to tell me I'm doing a good job.
Yeah.
Because I know it.
Oh, Katie could freaking build a house or something, like this gorgeous house all by herself, with her hands, and like it would do nothing for you to look at her and say, oh, this is awesome. This is so beautiful. Like, it does nothing for her. And I'm like, if I would have built that house or whatever, I would have done this thing, oh my gosh, I would want people lining up to hug me and thank me. Like, I just need all of the just affirmation. Like, that's.
And so this is something we still are trying to work on.
Yeah. I mean, love language is hard because, you know, typically, you know, we're made to just try to love people the way that we like to be loved.
Right.
And so learning to love someone the way that they want to be loved is very hard.
Yeah. Well, and it's been ingrained in us since we were kids. Treat others the way you want to be treated.
Right. I know. And so it's hard because there's, you know, that's true to a degree. That's something that you want, you know, but it's something you want to do. You want to treat others the way you want to be treated.
Right.
But when it comes to, like, your marriage, you've really got to start giving in certain areas of, especially just the way that you want to feel loved. I mean, it's incredible. What were your two? I know I should probably know that off the top of my head.
Quality time.
Right.
And I think we both got physical touch one.
Yeah, we both like to touch each other. That's okay.
We're married, so guys. Don't judge. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But, like, quality time, you want to go and do and be busy all the time. And I'm like, let's just sit and watch TV.
Yeah. No, see, my idea of quality time is, like, what can we get into? Like, for me, quality time would be, and that's the thing, too. This is another thing we struggle with. We don't like the same things. We don't like to do the same thing. My dad has a little, piece of farm property that he lives on, and I would freaking spend every weekend down there growing a garden or raising, you know, chickens or doing something. Like, just give me something to do like that. That's awesome. And I would love for if you wanted to do it too, like, I would love that. But, like, we just don't, like, it is, it truly is hard to find something we both love to do.
Yeah. Like, which, we both enjoy being outside.
Yeah.
But Colby also wants to go hiking and all these things. I'm like, no, there's snakes. I'm not doing that. Let's just, like, chill in the backyard or something.
Yeah.
But he gets bored easily.
I can't just, like, sit in a chair and just, like, watch the birds fly by. That's not a thing for me. There's no such thing. It's like, that's, people don't understand this, but, like, I'm not a beach guy. I love seafood. This is my favorite thing about the beach, but, like,
he wants to go ride go-karts, play golf. Like,
oh, my gosh, yeah. The last time I really remember going to the beach was you were pregnant with Oliver, and I'm sure we've been since then. I can't remember, yeah. but you were pregnant with Oliver, yeah. And I remember, like, you, your sister, like, everybody was just laying on the beach, just having a good time, just relaxing, listening to a little music, getting a little drinky drink, whatever, I don't know, but we're not, you, obviously, you were pregnant, right. But y'all are all kidding, man. I'm just, like, freaking, my head is on, like, spinning in circles, like, looking around, trying to just find something to do.
Yeah.
Like, at one point, I contemplated being the weirdo that just walks up to a group of people playing volleyball to see if I can play, because I'm like, I'm not going to sit here. So, what do? I go and spend, like, $300 to rent Sea-Doos for me and your brother to, yeah, go ride Sea-Doos, yeah, because I was not going to just sit there, so...
But that's, let's be honest, my fun thing that I enjoy to do would be beneficial if you did it.
What?
CrossFit.
No. No. Yeah, look, tried that. I couldn't walk upstairs. I did it.
Well, he gave it 2 weeks.
No, I gave it 2 workouts. I gave it 2 workouts. And let me tell y'all something else. Look, I can admire the CrossFit thing. I really do. And I hope that... our friends Trace and Aaron hear this. I love you guys, and what you're doing is awesome, but, like, yo, your warm-up is a workout. I want y'all to know that. Like, that is, you made me do 2 workouts. That's what, right, got, I threw up. Trace can attest to that. Like, I went to the bathroom twice. I threw up that one time. I can't do that. That's not me. I'm just, look, you want me to run on a treadmill? I'll think about it. You want me to lift, right, weights and squats and pistol, whatever, I don't know what y'all even call all this stuff, deadlifts, whatever.
Did you say piston?
No, pistol, whatever, pistol, what is that? What do you?
Pistol squat.
I don't know what in the world y'all are doing up in there. All I know is that, I'm not doing it. I'm not down for that. Love you guys, not doing it, though. I do need to get in shape, but.
What is a common thing that we enjoy doing together?
Oh, this is hard, Katie. Eating? Eating, is that,
oh my gosh,
is that okay to say? I don't know.
Okay, give me some credit here. When baseball season is going on, I try to, like, entertain that idea.
Yeah, no, you watch, I mean, like, you'll sit in a room with me while I watch a game. You're not engaged in it, though. I mean,
I'm like, oh, on... yeah, who's winning?
Yeah, when all you have to do is look at the score. Like, you don't have to bother me to ask me that question. Like, no, all jokes aside, yeah, you give in to the baseball thing a little bit, which is good. You know, really and truly, just one thing that we do have in common is that we do love family time. We love the time that we spend with our family, and
yeah,
whatever that is doing, like, activity-wise, like, who really cares? We're together, and
yeah,
that's awesome. But, no, as far as, like, physical activities, we don't see eye to eye at any point. Like, you have fun lifting weights and I don't. So, you know, but I truly enjoy just spending time with you and the kids, and yeah, whatever we end up doing is fine with me. So,
yeah. So I guess let's kind of do, like, not biggest takeaway, but, like, 3 things over these past 7.5 years that we have learned to grow our marriage, or, like, the things we've implemented to grow our marriage. First and foremost, we've said this every episode, Christ has to be the center of your relationship.
Yeah, and I think that it's hard to get past that one and list 2 more, honestly, but we will. It's so important to realize that until I truly gave in, like, if you guys go back and listen, you probably heard me in every episode through every trial that we went through, I made little comments like, you know, I started to trust the Lord, and I tried, and yeah, I did this, or I did that. Until you truly put God at the center of what you have with your spouse, it's not, you're not going to be delivered from the hurt and the, you know, and all these things. Like, it's just, it's not going to happen.
Right.
So put Christ at the center of everything. Make time for one another.
Yeah.
Because definitely. Quality time is important. And, you know, I know that is one of your love languages, but
kids, we've had to learn that can mean 5 minutes just sitting. We'll make the kids go to their room. Like, hey, y'all go to your room for a second. Me and Daddy just need to sit here and talk. Like,
yeah.
Just sitting there for 5 minutes and focusing on one another.
Yeah, it's huge.
You know, that plays a big part.
Right.
And also, we've talked about this, but like, when they say communication is key, it is key.
Just talking about your feelings. Feelings can be a really good or a really bad thing. Like, you know, it's just, but being open and transparent about them is huge. You know,
yeah.
sometimes your feelings, honestly, you know, it can just be based off of an assumption and stuff. So that's when I say it can be bad. That's what I mean. So just being open and honest and communicating can clear a lot of that stuff up. So yeah, the basics, guys, spend time together. Communicate well, and you know, put God first and foremost. Again, put God at the center of it all. Those would be my three. And let me tell y'all, we're not going to go too deep into this. It is what it is. I don't want it to get awkward. But your sex life is super important. And that's not just intimacy in general.
Yeah.
Intimacy doesn't mean hopping in the bed with each other. That's not what that is. And until I learned that, it was hard to have a healthy sex life.
Yeah.
So just know that's super important. And if you are withholding sex from your spouse, that is also very dangerous, and it's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
So just be aware of how important sex is and intimacy in general. It's a gift from God. And
it's supposed to honor Him. And that took me a while to understand.
Yeah.
I could read
in
the Bible.
Right.
I could read in the Bible all day long.
Right.
But actually knowing, like, this is supposed to honor Him, I didn't understand that.
Yeah. So I would say those are my things. I don't know if you want to add anything.
Well, just kind of going back to communication, like, for me, once I realized that I did need to talk about things, I did need to express my feelings,
mm-hmm.
I felt like I was overdoing it. I talked about the same thing over and over. I feel this way. I feel that. Whatever. But you can't talk too much about it to your spouse.
Yeah.
Like, if it means y'all understanding each other better, or you not feeling a certain way, or you not feeling misunderstood, it doesn't matter. Like, you can't not talk enough, you know?
Right, yeah.
I definitely felt that way. I felt like I'm such a, like, titty baby. I'm, like, over here talking and all this stuff when it's been, like, we've dealt with 3 days ago, but here I'm still talking about it. But my feelings are valid. Your feelings are valid, and they matter.
Yeah.
How you feel matters to me. And so, I mean, it's just talking about literally everything with one another.
Right.
And then finally, like, I finally learned, like, that'll bring you joy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that, you know, I just want to say that I'm super proud of us and super proud of you, and just our growth and where we've come from to where we are now. I think it's incredible, and I hope that our story has touched some lives. I really hope that it's changed marriages in some way, and or at least driven some marriages to some hard conversations.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's another, maybe that's something to add. Have the hard conversations, but
yes.
Have them, but you need to both be in a good place.
Right.
Ask yourself this question. It took me a long time to figure this out. Ask yourself this question before you start a, quote, hard conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ask yourself this. Is my spouse ready for this? Am I ready for this?
Yeah.
You may think you are, but think of every possible response that your spouse could have.
Yeah.
And if any of them lead to a blown up, crazy argument, screaming, yelling, throwing stuff, just go ahead and pray about it.
Right.
It's not the right time.
Yeah.
You have to both be in the right place, or else you're not going to get anywhere.
Right. So. And if you seek God on those things, He will show you the right time.
Yeah.
He will prepare both of y'all's hearts.
It is funny how it all points back to God.
Right.
And if He's not the center, none of this stuff works.
Yeah.
So, yeah, guys, I would just say, you know, like, again, I appreciate y'all listening to this. And
I've had so many messages of singles and married people reaching out to me, and I'm just thankful that they trust us enough to do that.
Right.
And that they care enough about their marriage to do that, you know? Right.
There's something to be said about just real, raw conversations, and we've had some of those on here, and, you know, I think that people can appreciate that. You know, there's plenty of books and podcasts and shows out there that that kind of portray a perfect marriage, and, you know, oh yeah, we've got it all figured out. Look, we don't.
Yeah.
And all we have figured out is that Christ is the center, and, you know, there are still things we're working on every day.
Yeah.
Outside of that, we're not perfect.
Right.
But, you know, I again, just like Katie said, so thankful for y'all. I'm glad y'all have been reaching out to her and asking questions and just giving us feedback. That's huge.
Yeah. And I just wanted to let everyone know that probably Thursday or Friday, probably Thursday, me and Colby are going to go live on Instagram and Facebook. And just, if there's any questions, if we can answer them then, we will. But if it's a lot of questions to where we're going to do another, like, Q&A episode, maybe,
mm-hmm.
We would love to do that. My email's on here also. Like, there's no question. There's no, like, off-limits questions. Yeah. I've had people message me some that you would think would be offensive, but they're not. Like, we are an open book. Anything we can do to help you grow your marriage or your relationship with Christ, we're ready and we're here for it.
Yeah. I mean, there's, again, nothing off limits. You can ask anything. Nothing's too personal. So we're wide open. We want to help people.
Yeah. So, all right. We will see y'all Thursday if you join in with us. But if not, we'll talk to y'all next week.
See y'all.